This is RSB and the Update, episode 275, recorded Friday, September 24th, 2010. Cows are dangerous. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of RSB and the Update. Chief Snake is back this week
after Yay!
His region.
With power.
Yes, his region or suburb, I guess, was suffered the consequences of using concrete power poles and very strong winds and hail.
There is nothing wrong with using concrete power poles.
Well,
it just so happened that these particular power poles must have been very weak. Because nothing else happened to the rest of our town. Well, actually, about a third of it probably had no power. But but yeah, nothing else happened to the rest of the town. And this is a nice section of the town. It's not one of the areas that you would actually expect to go without power for 2 days. And so, yeah, this place just sort of up the road from me had four power poles taken out. Four in a row. I have no idea how that happened. No one crashed their car into them or anything. It just one must have fallen and then taken the other three down or something like that. But
you
something
can talk
ridiculous.
More about the details of that later and how it all happened.
Oh, there's nothing to say there, but that's
oh,
it.
Okay.
Anyway, I just had no power for 2 days.
Yeah, well, was it 2 days?
More or less 2 days,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, see here? All in the old areas, the power poles are made of wood, and I know for a fact that that wood goes at least 6 feet underground, so they're firmly ingrained in the ground. And if you're in a new area...
I think concrete would have to go pretty far underground in order for it not to fall over.
Yeah, but the way that they do it now in the new areas is they put them all underground, which is really the way to go. So, anyways, that aside, we had some troll love... this week. Or not troll. I don't know why I'm thinking of trolls.
Troll.
Barbarian. Yes. In the quest that replaced Romeo and Juliet called Gunner's Ground. Now, the way they did this, and they'll probably work it for future removals, because somebody made a tweet that don't think this will be the last major content adjustment like this. So that tells me that there's probably going to be a removal again of some quest in the future. So, just warning everyone on that. So the way they did this is, even though this quest has a different reward, they left it at the same value of 5 quest points.
That's quite a few quest points.
Well,
I forgot
you know,
that Romeo and Juliet was worth that much.
Yeah, they were very liberal back in the old days of giving quest points out. My name serves me correctly. The last quest, modern quest, to have 5 quest points was Wolgothic Sleeps. So, long story short, if you had Romeo and Juliet done, you didn't get 5 more quest points. You just got the reward of that, which we'll cover in a bit. But Gunner's Ground, it's Barbarian in Barbarian Village. It's a 5-minute quest, so there's really not much to say about it.
Okay. 5 minutes for 5 quest points. That's impressive.
This guy
you didn't
is...
tell me it was 5 minutes long. I would have done it in that
case. I thought that
I
without
think
question
anyway.
Being a free-to-play and short quest.
Yeah, true.
This guy, this dwarf guy,
anyway,
had fallen in love with this barbarian kind of female, and, well, the girl's father didn't want to permit her to have a relationship with an outlander, so this guy had little to no courage, so basically he had to write this poem, chisel out this ring for him, and go deliver it to the girl. And then, ultimately, at the end, you have to convince her father to allow her to see this person. So, that's basically the quest, and if my memory serves me correctly, that is the same storyline that Romeo and Juliet had in RuneScape.
Sounds about right.
So, it is really the same storyline, just shifted in order to give people a perspective on the barbarians and the dwarves kind of opening up the door to future quests may be in those areas for people who are free to play and might want to expand out into the members area. So good marketing tactic on that part, but there are no requirements for this quest as one would expect. So,
level 5 crafting.
Right. Well, level 5 crafting. Rather instantly, you know.
But. Well, if I wanted to do that on my noob account, I would need to get level 5 crafting. Okay. So don't diss.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And killing cows can be dangerous. I know at least
it can, especially if you're a skiller, which
yeah, I know more people than I can count on one hand who were, when they were level 3, got killed by a cow. So cows can be dangerous.
They really can.
Yeah. I wonder if you go into the cow pen, you know, north of
They were stronger in RuneScape Classic. That's
They were. But they're kind of weak now. But yeah. You know where you can milk the cows? I wonder if you get kicked by the dairy cow if you get hurt.
That would be painful, yes.
Yeah. But you know, getting kicked by a cow would actually be quite dangerous because, well, I know that my grandpa, who is almost 80 years old now, was kicked by a cow when he was 12 years old, and you can still see a big gash on his forehead. So
yeah,
he lived to tell about it. So moral of the story is, I guess cows are dangerous both in RuneScape and real life. Anyways, the rewards of this quest are compelling for a free player who has just caught level 5 crafting. You get 300 crafting XP and an antique lamp giving 200 XP and a skill that's over level 5.
Woot.
So for all you guys out there who have level 10 Dungeoneering, you might as well go do this quest and use that lamp on that, as you'll get some benefit. You also get swanky boots, which are a kind of dark bluish greenish color, and they give +1...
That's
Magic attack, which is also good for free to play. They're the magic kind of boots.
Very good for free to play. I'll have to get those.
Yeah, and they also throw this thing in where you can get, I think it's 2,000, 10,000, and 20,000 crafting XP if you got level. I'm blanking on what the levels are right now, but I know one's 92 and one's 70. I forget what the lower level one is. If you go talk to this guy after the quest, chisel out a certain piece of jewelry that he has for him, you will get that amount of XP. So, they did do a good job in making it so that it's a decent reward for those who don't have, who do have higher than level 5 crafting. So, anyways, that's pretty much the quest. I'm just looking this up, but what is your final verdict after hearing about this quest and the removal of content?
I was just gonna say that before. Actually, I think it's quite a good replacement for Romeo and Juliet. I personally don't blame them for having removed it, even though it is, you know, it is removing veteran content. Yeah, for lack of a better word. I think they've replaced it with essentially the same stuff, except in a way that makes it relevant to RuneScape.
Because that's the thing.
You have to admit that Romeo and Juliet would have been a really early quest, and they wouldn't have exactly known what was going on at that stage.
Yeah, and that's kind of the same thing that was echoed in the developer blog about this quest and how it worked. So, another thing they said in there is if anybody ever wants to go do Romeo and Juliet, they can go do it on RuneScape Classic.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. Overall, I think that's it. You know, I'm not going to say a 4 because its impact to the game is not that great as a 4. You know, 2... I was thinking 2 when I was doing it because I still had the idea that removing a piece of content drastically would change the way the game was viewed by veterans, you and me, but not the new players. But I'm guessing that in regards to this, as long as the storyline is the same, it'll be okay if they do this again in the future. But you know, there's still something about me that is like, how can you remove a quest when there was stuff on this quest that was happened in this game that people are going to know about, say, for instance, for the role-playing crowd, right?
Well, I mean, it's sort of similar to just removing any piece of content, which they have done in the past. They've updated things, and when they update things, they can take things out, just little small things that sort of aren't appropriate in the current time anymore. And I think it's all about context, really.
As the game progresses,
as the game progresses, it just loses the necessity for some of the stuff that they've added in, and it's only natural for them to replace things like that. And the same thing with the other quests. Was it Sheep Shearer that they removed?
Yeah, that one.
Replaced it with they upgraded that to something slightly different.
It was more useful, actually.
Yeah, they still kept Sheep Shearer as a mini game,
as a tutorial,
mini quest. Sorry.
Yeah, tutorial kind of quest thing.
Yeah. Just because it didn't suit. It's sort of the same thing they've done here. They've just made Romeo and Juliet into something that suits the time, I suppose. I agree with what I'm saying.
Okay, good. That's good, because otherwise we'd have to have two people talking in your head. But does it make sense that these two people, a dwarf and a barbarian, would move into Romeo and Juliet's old house, the exact same house?
I suppose so. I thought you were going to say, does it actually make sense that a dwarf and a barbarian would fall in love? And I was thinking, yes, duh, barbarians are hot.
If you say so.
As for the barbarian falling in love with the dwarf the other way around, I'm not sure how that would work. But yeah, you get the idea.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Some people
really
are screwed up. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, good. So moving into the same house?
What else are they going to do with it? Is it just going to be a house for no one?
I don't know. Like, it's a big house. There's no, like, backstory as to how these people moved into that house.
Actually, yeah. Just a random barbarian and a dwarf. Considering barbarians, I don't know, what do barbarians live in? There aren't any houses
in
Barbarian Village.
Little wooden hut things. Yeah, there are. There's little hut things.
Oh, well, yeah, but they're just, yeah, they're not actual proper houses.
Okay.
Do they actually have beds in them?
I'm
going to look
at
that when I next go through Barbarian Village. I don't take much notice.
They have, like, stuff on the floor to lay on, I think. So. Anyways.
I'm going to think about that whenever I go through a new place. Like, oh, do they have beds in this one? Do they have beds in this one?
Yeah.
Do elves ever sleep?
I don't know.
But then I suppose there are heaps of... Never mind, going off on a completely different tangent. Continue.
I looked that up. 32k XP, level 42, you get 2k for a ruby bracelet. Level 72, dragonstone amulet gives you 10,000 XP, and at level 90 you get the 20,000 XP with an onyx amulet. And these are his pieces of jewelry, so you don't need to bring him one of those and chisel it out. He has the ones he wants chiseled out, so.
Hang on, what's this?
That's the extra reward for people who don't have crafting. So 32k crafting XP if you have 90, 12k if you have 72.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So. Can't complain with that.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. I'm going to go with 3 on this, actually.
I haven't done it, so I can't give an accurate rating, but I'd say 4, actually, because I think it is good that they've replaced Romeo and Juliet with something more appropriate. And I mean, look at the introduction. A smitten dwarf sits lone, forlorn, his love full-formed but lost. Will you help to guide his path and cross a love star-crossed?
Yeah, it's about poetry, the quest. You have to finish up the poem.
And that's exactly what Romeo and Juliet is, so.
Yeah, you know, I was...
Except in Romeo and Juliet, they don't live happily ever after.
Yeah, they die.
I forget
dies,
what actually
they?
Happened in the first quest.
Everyone except Romeo dies. No, no, not in the quest. I mean the real play.
Yeah, yeah. No, wait. Well, Romeo kills himself.
Oh. He?
And then Juliet kills herself.
Oh, right. So they all die in that one. Okay.
He sees Romeo. Because Juliet... Yeah, we studied this in Year 11 English. Juliet kills... pretends to kill herself. Romeo thinks that she's dead, so he kills himself. Juliet awakes, sees that Romeo is dead, and then kills herself. It's a very depressing film. Or play, whatever you would call it.
Yeah, did you guys watch the one with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes, yes, we did.
Yeah, that's the same one we watched. Anyways, with that being said, that is Gunner's Ground. So, we hope you've enjoyed that. And tweaks and fixes. Various worlds have had their themes adjusted. Okay. They now have Polish worlds as a result of this.
Ooh.
And skill capes have been lengthened once again. I'm sure you saw that.
Oh, yeah, you showed me. I didn't actually sort of notice it when I logged in.
Maybe they pushed another patch or something. Because didn't... Like, I think the farming cape especially looks kind of weird at this point. Like, the icon is too small almost, I think. Compared to how it used to be.
Yeah, it was weird when you showed it to me. I just didn't notice it.
And the texture of our cape is different than Martin's cape, which I kind of
really
like, because I like his better. I like his better. So, anyways. That's really all there is for tweaks and fixes, unless you count the humidify spell no longer causing sound for other players. Interesting.
All right, then.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for that part. What else have we got this week? Oh, yes, the Golden Joystick Awards. Did you vote for Jagex?
Nope.
I was going to try and vote for Jagex in this, but I found the web UI really cumbersome to use, so I ended up closing the tab. But I would have voted for Jagex if I would have been able to actually use the website, I think.
Yeah, if it was just a one-click thing, I would do it, but otherwise I can't be bothered.
But there's so many different categories on here. Like, let's see. For example, there is... Come on, load faster. Load faster. Action Game of the Year, Downloadable Game of the Year, Fighting Game of the Year, Music Game of the Year, One to Watch, Online Game of the Year, Puzzle Game of the Year, Portable Game of the Year, Racing Game of the Year, Role-Playing Game of the Year, yada, yada, yada. Of course, Shooting Game of the Year, UK Developer of the Year, and so on. And so on, and so on, and so on. So that's that. Vote if you want. I don't know. I think it'd be nice to give them another golden joystick to put in their case, just because RuneScape is such a pioneer in this market, you know? Like the business model entirely. So
I mean, they would deserve it, sure. I just can't be bothered.
they'll win it.
So
yeah, they will when they do this. But like, I think they do have the UK Developer of the Year category done, because unless the Codemasters people or Lionhead or whatever EA Brightlight is, or Rockstar North, or Team 17 people can get their people to come out and vote in this, they probably do have it, you know?
Yeah, so, Jagex has got the user base. So.
Role-playing Game of the Year. Let's see if Star Trek Online is in there. Nope. What would Star Trek Online be?
You tell me.
Well, it's an RPG, but... Oh, God. Farmville is in the Online Game of the Year category with Star Trek Online. Oh,
Farmville?
Never heard of Farmville on Facebook?
Is it one of those apps?
Yeah, it's one of those Facebook ones.
Oh my God, there are.
You know,
heaps
I really hope
that. Things
that
not
oh,
worth doing.
Star Trek Online has no chance in this whatsoever. It's up against things like Need for Speed World, Tiger Woods PGA Tour, Lord of the Rings, and Farmville. And Champions Online, too.
Farmville. It has no chance against Farmville.
You don't know anybody who plays Farmville?
No, but
it's,
I'm just assuming
like a,
that...
It's like
it would
a
be...
farm simulator on Facebook.
That sounds
so. You check your veggies and your crops and your cows, and sometimes
like a game
you need a bigger farm.
I would love to play.
Yeah, why don't you?
But no, in all seriousness, if Star Trek Online loses to Farmville or any other Facebook app for that matter, I will laugh.
I hope Farmville does not win that.
Rejoice.
Anyways, that's the Golden Joystick Awards. Vote for Star Trek Online and vote for Jagex.
Yes. Well, for the latter. International Soul Wars Tournament.
Yeah, this is like the Castle Wars Tournament, except Soul Wars. If you're hearing this, you might have a chance to get there. Maybe not. If you're listening on late Saturday, you might, but anyways, it's the same thing. They say same groupings. It starts at 1 a.m. BST on Sunday, September 26th. So, 1 hour. And they're going to be playing 3 games total. And then based on that, they'll figure out who wins, I guess. So,
yay for Soul Wars.
Yeah, you know, they do it with Castle Wars. You might as well do it with Soul Wars, I think, because Soul Wars is the more involved of the two. I don't know. I think I like Castle Wars better, though. It's the classic. So,
yeah.
Anyways,
I never understood Soul Wars. Still don't intend to understand it.
The only good thing that came out of Soul Wars for me so far was my crawling hand pet.
Oh, I see. Yeah, true.
Which eats leather gloves.
Very fishy.
Anyways. That's all we got for RuneScape updates this week. No poll, seeing as they're still pumping their sponsored poll about watching habits. So, well, you weren't here last week. Did you vote
that's
in that
true.
Poll?
Wait, what? Didn't we have the watching habits poll the week before as well?
No, September.
Or
no, it was last week, September 14th.
I don't know. I'm just going to look. Yeah, anyway. But they had some sponsors poll when I was last on.
Yeah, that's the same one.
I don't keep track of the polls.
Okay.
So
do you have any comments about it that you want to share?
No.
Okay,
oh,
then.
I have to log in. I can't be bothered logging in. It's loading too slow.
Okay. I accidentally closed the wiki, so tell me which audio question I should play first.
The first audio question we are playing is from Jackabooney.
Hi, RSBNB. It's Jackabooney, and today I just have a quick question about skill capes. Personally, do you think that they should have an achievement diary skill cape now that the elite achievement diaries are out and require a lot of higher level skills to complete? I personally think they should, because it does take a lot of higher level skills to complete, and yeah. So what's your opinion? Thanks. Keep up the great show, and bye.
All right. Achievement Diary Skill Cape.
That's sort of a good point, really, because, I mean, all of the achievement diaries are very difficult to complete now. It's not... Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's funny, though. Because it's not like they take a long time to do. I think that's the only thing. With quests and the quest cape, it takes forever. And, as far as I'm concerned, they take forever. And you still sort of need very high skills to complete most of them. Or at least reasonably high.
Are you talking about the quests or the diaries?
Quests at the moment. For the quest cape, you need...
Yeah, see, it took me the better part of 2.5 years after I got members to get all the quests done. And then that's with the usual task of keeping up with them week to week, you know, so...
Yeah, that is true. I mean, they release them very frequently.
So do you want an achievement diary cape?
I don't think so. No, because it isn't difficult enough to do them at this stage.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going to go with you the same thing on this one. We don't need an achievement diary cape because two reasons. A new player who just got members can go to each of the achievement diary places and start the diaries, and then as they go around to various areas in their RuneScape career, they will inevitably get the diary done, you know. So, that's reason one, I think. And reason two is there's already an achievement diary set in the works. We're just missing the legs and the weapon.
Yeah, yeah. So that's true. There's not actually too much more to go.
At the end, after the entire
and plus, yeah, there is already a cape.
Diary
yeah.
set, the set, if you have the... Because the elite set looks different than the regular set. It changes each time. So, with that, you might as well just use the achievement diary set rather than an achievement diary cape, right? And we already have the Ardoian cloak, which goes in the cape slot. So... Anyways, that's my logic for not needing one.
Yeah, I can see where it's coming from, of course, because you do need very high skills, and it's sort of comparable high skills across a wide range. But, yeah, it's just the level of difficulty. It's kind of like you've already got capes for... Or by that point, you would pretty much have capes for those necessary skills, and it's sort of just like an extra... Cape
an extra
no
little
reason.
Thing you can go do just to round off the experience. But mind you, 95 prayer, 92 herbalore, 91.
Yeah, I know, summary, I know. They're high enough summary. That you might as well already have the capes. You might as well
yeah,
go from there.
So,
99, so
and I know on RuneWire and the goals and achievements RSPMB forum, forums.rsbnb.com, I have seen people. Since the Elite Diaries came out, start training Herblore and to 92, and I'm assuming it's because of the diary. Same goes for summoning and prayer, so you know, these are also acting as ways to encourage people to train those skills. So I think the Achievement Diary program is a good program and should continue to receive funding from Jagex. Anyways, thank
but
you.
But overall it doesn't deserve a new cape.
The next audio question is from Citizen Kane, with a K.
Dear hosts, I've been losing interest in RuneScape lately, mostly because of new games like Halo Reach taking up all my time. I played RuneScape today after not playing for over a week, and it just wasn't fun. Do you have any ideas that could get me back into RuneScape again? Thanks, Citizen Kane.
Go farm?
Yeah, I'm afraid I just have to echo the same sentiments. Go farm. Otherwise, good luck. That's what I've found. It depends what you would usually do, because I would also recommend something like Slayer. Or just something that you're not used to doing. Go try out.
Yeah.
Something completely stupid and unnecessary. Something like, go kill metal dragons with no anti-fire shield and see what happens. Go kill them with a god sword. And I did that once, and it was
really?
Moderately interesting.
But you don't have 92
herbalore. Of course, it's only fun when you don't have 92 herbalore. That way, there is actually a chance of getting killed. Not a very high chance, because they don't...
How many did you manage to kill?
I think I killed a few. I did quite well.
Were these bronze, iron, steel, mithril?
Iron or steel, but it doesn't actually matter, because they all hit the same with Dragonfire.
Okay. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Another thing that is going to play into my section of what have you been doing is don't train things as you normally would. Do something different, you know? If there's a skill that's always appealed to you, even if it's something at a higher level, just for some reason, I don't know why I had that appeal with Herblore and why it was my second favorite 99 to get, just do something different with it, you know? So, just don't go... I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't go for the fastest XP if it's going to be boring. If you're going to have more fun doing something else, do something else in that way. But yeah. I guess back to the original question is, if you've been kind of in a rut doing the same thing, just pick something else to do that's completely different. So, and, you know, you say Halo Reach and everything, but I think there are times you can have a first-person shooter game, and then you can also have RuneScape standalone on its own to have its own purpose in regards to that. Anyways, I'm done with this one. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, well covered.
Thank you, Kane. Next one is from Uncle Dano.
Greetings, noble sirs. 'Tis Uncle Dano once again, beseeching you specifically this time, my lord Shane, to impart upon me some of thy wisdom as a master of the herblore skill. With the new Elite Achievement Diaries comes the huge challenge to raise my herblore level from 80 to 92, so that I might acquire the illustrious Sears Headband 4. Would it be wise for me to convert all my accumulated basic and super potions into extremes as a method of training, or should I sell those potions to buy more herbs? Any advice you could bestow upon me regarding training strategies for leveling herblore would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for taking my question once again. Fare thee well, gracious hosts. And to all the wonderful peeps in the Bits Bytes CC, Godspeed, and another fine day in the scape to you all. Sincerely, Uncle Dano.
Okay, good audio question. First off, I'm going to have to say that this depends largely on two factors. First off, the money and the availability of ingredients. First off, do you have the money to buy the tertiary ingredients for the extreme potions? If yes, you could go that way. And the other issue with this is also to take into account is to remember that extreme potions are not tradable. So is 15,000, say, restore, or extreme restore potions going to be useful for you in the rest of your RuneScape career?
Yeah, you got to remember that.
Are many thousand
a lot of money.
Extreme attack potions going to be useful to you in your RuneScape career? I don't know. So, personally, for me, I don't think so because I don't do that much combat or need to restore my special bar. So, no, the answer for me to that would be no. So, I would just fall back to the old regular classic kind of potion training. But, you know, I think maybe it wouldn't hurt to make a few of the extreme potions, some of the more useful ones maybe, say the ranged dragon fire. I don't know. I'm kind of still on the fence almost a year later if extreme prayer is worth it, given the cost and what you need for it. And the because you need wyvern bones for those, and I'm really not sure if it's worth those extra prayer points to do that compared to regular prayer potion. But so once again, just to sum up, it depends on money and whether or not you're actually going to be able to use these potions in the end, because if you're not able to use them, it's just money sitting in your bank that you've wasted. So if you're not able to use them, that's why when you should go to classic potion training. So hope that helps. And for anybody wondering, back in the old days, what I did, I think it cost around 92 million GP for 99 Herblore, way back when. It was right before RuneScape HD came out, so that would have been what? June 2007, I think?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
And I was able to, with that, make anti-fires and not lose too much. So things have greatly changed, and you're not going to be able to get even half of 99 for that amount. So I think with Herblore, the biggest thing to take into account is money. So
June 2008.
Oh, okay. Right? I always get the year mixed up for some reason. I don't know why.
You got farming in 2007.
September 2007. Okay.
Yep.
Then the following June was Herblore. Then January was woodcutting, I believe.
Yep, I think so.
Good. I don't know. I need to write all this down one day. Anyways.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's the same with me. I lose track of things easily. It's been a long time since I got anything substantial like that.
Yeah. Anyways, our last audio question, I believe. I'm going with the best I can, given the fact that it was from a phone. I think it's Mr. Sherto. Tell me if we're wrong.
Hey, Shane and Chief. Mr. Sherto here. I have two questions for you guys today. First, for Chief, I was wondering what your favorite Nightwish song is, because I'm actually a fan. And right now, my favorite is probably The Islander. And, Shane, I was wondering, I'm going for 99 cooking, and it's pretty boring. So, I was sitting in Rogue's Den, and I was messing around with my graphics options, and I was wondering what's really the difference between DirectX and OpenGL. Thanks for making the podcast, guys. It's awesome.
You first.
Well, my favorite Nightwish song. I can't really offer an amazing amount of insight because I only recently discovered Nightwish as well. But so I've sort of only mainly listened to the recent albums. However, from what I have heard, I don't like the really early ones. I like the album Century Child and Dark Passion Play, the newest one. And my favorite song at the moment is probably... I actually don't like The Islander very much. But Master Passion Greed. And there are a lot of good songs on that album. Yeah, I basically like the whole thing. Sorry to be boring, but...
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fantastic band.
For anybody out there, what genre are they?
Symphonic metal.
I see. And what exactly does that mean?
Best genre ever. It's sort of like...
Opera?
A cross between metal and opera.
Okay. So is it like
Except
opera
it's
singing?
Not really... It's not... Yeah, it's not really opera singing. It's sort of more... some of the older stuff is kind of on the verge of opera. They actually did a cover of The Phantom of the Opera, which is pretty fantastic because it's sort of... It is like The Phantom of the Opera, except in a metal style. It's really interesting how they've done stuff like that. But... Yeah, it's more pop metal, perhaps pop crossed with metal, as in pop okay. style singing, but metal music. Yeah, right. I don't know.
I don't know.
It can be many things. You sort of have to listen to it, and then you'll understand.
Field.
Anyway, that's all. DirectX and OpenGL.
Well. What they are, they're both the rendering engines. Hardware rendering engines means that they'll use a graphics card in order to render 3D shapes and whatnot on the screen. The general way a 3D shape is rendered is first you have the polygons, or the skeleton, I mean, which is the outline, and so every character is a skeleton, and then polygons are laid on top, generating, and then those polygons are textured. And then what the graphics card does in high speed, since graphics cards are way more powerful at these kind of options than your CPU, is it paints these in real time. So basically, OpenGL is the open source version, and DirectX is the closed proprietary Microsoft version. And contrary to popular belief, they do the same job, and they're pretty much the same. It's just Microsoft wages a pretty effective propaganda campaign that causes most developers to choose DirectX over OpenGL, when in really what you can do in DirectX, you can do in OpenGL. So I still give credit to JAGEX for supporting OpenGL in this, seeing as that OpenGL is, in my view, the ideal way to go on this. So
yeah. Well, I mean, if they didn't support OpenGL, then it wouldn't run on
yeah,
Linux.
Yeah, then everybody on Mac or Linux would be screwed, right?
Yeah.
So. But then... You're also at the mercy of your vendors, OpenGL support. In this case, on Linux, you know, you had to do some funky stuff to get anti-aliasing working, right?
Oh, that was purely NVIDIA's fault, I suppose. But okay. It's actually fairly straightforward. I mean, I've got it working potentially better than it would work in Windows on here at the moment.
Okay. And then you got the opposite case on OS X through Java, where the OpenGL support is just very poor. So,
yeah,
that's not saying as a whole for OpenGL on Mac. That's just saying OpenGL on Mac Java. So,
yeah, I mean, we're mostly at the mercy of on Linux at least. That we're mostly at the mercy of Java. It's not a problem with OpenGL.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So,
yeah, I mean, it's same with Mac.
I wish we had OpenJDK for on Mac, but we don't. Anyways, thank you, Mr. Sherdo. We like those kind of questions about technical things because it's always nice knowing what buttons you're clicking and what they do, you know? So. Oh, it should also be said, one more thing, that DirectX is the language used to program games for the Xbox. Like the, well, not the language, but the graphics toolkit, I mean. So. I don't know how they'd bring RuneScape to the Xbox, but if they ever found out a way to distribute it freely, they would be able to, they wouldn't need to do anything to their engine.
Mm.
Just a little side note.
That's true.
Anyways, first text question.
Hello, favorite child chief, and tag along Shane. I recently got... Nah, that's just biased. I recently got 99 tech and 99 constitution and have started to do some boss solos. What are your favorite bosses to kill? Personally, I like Corp and TDs as my favorite. TDs being tormented. Save it till the end of the question, Shane. That is from Lucky or Lucy or whatever you prefer.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So what are your favorite bosses to kill, Shane? Kill or be killed by... No, I'm just being mean now.
I'm really not for bosses, because the amount of time involved, and we've rarely ever got anything good, you know?
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, I'm definitely not one to solo anything. I can safely say that Shane isn't either, but I'm playing. But yeah, I'm not up to soloing stuff. Bosses to kill. I enjoy Zamorak. I think that's the most fun.
I've never been there.
Because, well, oh, why, you've never come with us?
No, never to Zamorak. Oh,
yeah, I think I've asked you that before, actually. But anyway, when we used to do Zamorak for the boss takedowns, I used to enjoy that more because I was the tank all the time. And it's more interesting being the tank because there's a lot going on. You actually do have to concentrate when it's hitting you. Unlike when you're tanking Bandos, you just sit there and eat occasionally. When you're tanking Zamorak, it cuts your prayer in half from time to time. Ooh. And then can hit up to like 40 or 50 on you in one hit. So you do have to be prepared for things like that. And it is slightly more interesting than Bandos. On the other hand, if you're going to Zamorak and you're not tanking it, it's very, very, very boring because nothing ever happens. You just attack something and nothing else is attacking you. It's far too easy. However, Zamorak if I'm tanking.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm not sure. I haven't really... I've never been into Armadil or Saradom and that much. Armadil's okay.
Yeah, Armadil's not too bad. Saradom, and remember that time you...
Saradom, and
like,
I've never had much luck Southridge with. Yeah.
Us went.
That was fun.
I died.
Yeah, fun figurative speaking. You died. Who was it?
Mike or Southrend,
like,
lagged out?
Yeah, lagged out. Didn't someone else then die? Or...
Southrend, I think.
Okay, so let's say you died, Mike lagged out, Southrend died. I don't know. Something or other. It ended up... Or someone might have tallied. I don't know. It ended up me being the last one there, and I had to bless whoever was left and get out. But I just got lucky. Otherwise, I probably would have died as well. I'm not gonna make any...
Yeah, we're really not those kind of people who, like, go solo the boss and whatnot. So...
Yeah.
But
it was fun, though.
We
should do that again sometime, eh?
Yeah, well, there's supposed to be a boss takedown tonight, but nobody
came. Maybe
on Armadil.
Oh, okay.
Nobody came.
Really?
No. Well, two people. What can you do with three people at Bandos? Busy world, right? Anyways. So, I don't know. I liked Armadil. I also like the Dagonoth Kings.
Oh, yeah. I've never been to the Dagonoth Kings before, still.
Yeah, they're not too bad. So,
KBD is boring and outdated. They need to update that.
Oh, I like Kalfite Queen. Mike and I got a chain once. One of, like, 404 kills.
That's good. Kalfite Queen was... Wasn't it the first time we ever went to Kalfite Queen for boss takedown? We got a chain.
Yeah, that's right.
It was good and that time, and then the next time we tried going to it,
I got heads. I got a complete failure.
Oh yeah, you did.
It's up in my house.
Yep, I remember that.
Anyway, thank you, Lucky Lucy. Lucky Lucy. I'll go with that one.
Next question.
Hey, Shane and Chief Snake. First, a RuneScape question. Do you think Jagex should add fishing spots into player-owned houses? While not really practical in the long run of the game, it would provide a new activity for house parties.
They could well do, because, I mean, yeah, they wouldn't serve a lot of purpose. Power fishing, you just drop the fish.
Yeah, they'd have to be either give you, like, 0.1 XP per fish.
Yeah.
In that way, just being decorative, or be not fishable, just like the trees are not fishable, you know. I mean, trees are not cuttable.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. They could do it, but, yeah, they would have to be.
I don't know.
They wouldn't be usable as...
Yeah, it'd have to be for decorative purposes only, so...
Pretty much.
Okay.
But then you could argue, I mean...
Yeah, you could go the other way, too.
I don't know. Anyway, second.
Second, have you ever gone to a zoo? If you have, did the idea of riding one of the animals ever cross your mind? Keep up the awesome show. I neglected this person's name. I'm sorry. So, you answer that. I know you've been to a zoo once or twice.
Is it not common to go to zoos in other places?
Yeah, you know, it is. I think.
It is common.
Yeah. I know the child here goes to the zoo for school, at least.
Oh, okay. That's all right, then. Yeah, because we do occasionally. We don't have
a
zoo...
Regnanth.
Oh, okay. We don't have a zoo where I live, but there are zoos in all of the major sort of centres, and we've been to plenty before. Last year, we went on a trip to the Wellington Zoo with my form class at school, because we're a special form class and we can do anything, yes. But yeah, so we had this pointless trip down to Wellington we went to a few different places around there anyway, but we stayed at the zoo overnight. They have this room where, this sort of like this big room where you can stay where groups can stay if they want to. And so we...
That's just creepy.
It is, yeah.
One room.
It's not creepy. It was fine.
It is.
That many people in one room makes it very difficult to sleep. That was probably the only thing. What did I get? Like 4 hours sleep that night? It was something really horrible. But
how many were snoring?
A lot. Well, not a lot, but a few would have been snoring. And you just cannot sleep with that many people around you. You feel uneasy. And
yes,
other people
yes.
sleep either. They sort of make noises and do annoying things. Even when, we're supposed to be old and mature now. People still do that stuff. It's so frustrating. But, yeah. And then we had to get up at like 6. And, no, before that even.
God.
5 or 6? I can't remember. We went on a night walk through the zoo. And then we also did a morning one before anyone else was there. That was quite good. We had... Yeah, with two guides. But, God, was that a shocking trip.
Do you ever think of riding one of the animals?
Oh, yeah, back to the original question. No, I don't think that has ever crossed my mind. We did get to feed the giraffes, though, in which... we fed them at night, actually, which was interesting, because we were sort of up on this platform where you're close enough to, you know, feed them with your hands. And so at that point you could sort of swing over the side of the platform and slide down their necks and then but obviously that would not have crossed my mind at the time. And everything else is behind bars in somewhere or another,
that's
so
good.
You can't. Yeah. But interesting question, I will give you that. Yeah.
Yeah, my answer is no. Anyways, we done with that one?
Yep, we're done.
Hello there,
RSBNB hosts. This is Kakarikin here with a few questions. In your opinion, which quest has had the best emotional part? Also, what and what quest do you think the dumbest part is? Maybe something little or something big. I, for one, think that it is stupid that in the Lost Tribe quest, the Duke says that he will have to start war with the cave goblins because they took some silverware. And one more question, what enemy in a quest did you prep for by bringing lots of food and it turns out the supposedly high-leveled hard boss was really easy? I went and prepared to fight the Draymond tree and I ended up killing it without taking any damage. Thanks, Kakarika. Best emotional part and dumbest part.
You going first?
I have no idea, actually, for that part.
Okay. Best emotional part. You gotta keep in mind I've been at this since 2005, so lots of the quests that have come out have blurred, like lots of little insignificant ones. No, I can't say I got as emotional as you there, but probably the most shocking in terms of emotion was when those two Slayer Masters died in Wolgothic Sleep. Oh, sorry, spoiler warning for anybody who didn't know that.
Oh, well. Very nice.
I can't say about a dumbest part like that, you know. Like, there's lots of things you could call dumb in these quests, right? So,
like the Gunner's Ground, having no backstory for that house.
They just happened to
live in it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't remember things. Excuse me, things like that.
But every boss, pretty much, I've overprepared for, except for Nomad.
Yeah, that's right.
You should do that.
All of the bosses I would have faced, I've been overprepared for. Oh, most recently, probably, that Fairy Tale Part 3.
Oh, yeah, right.
You told me to bring heaps of food for. So I brought all these sharks, I think. I can't remember what I brought, anyway. But I went in there and I used, like, 3 of them. Well, that's just at a guess, but I've prepared for that. Was the last one I did.
Yeah, I think most of the quests are designed for people probably 80 to 90 combat to be challenged.
Yeah.
Anywhere over 110, 100, you're probably fine. So
the last one I can remember not preparing for was Contact, I think, which is probably one of the easier ones. But I found that difficult when I did it. I don't know why.
Right, because all those things through there are attacking you.
I can't remember why, but I didn't end up with a lot of food left when I was killing that boss thing.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, and it's sort of surprising, because that's not one that's meant to be that difficult. anyway, everything I've done since then has been quite easy, from what I can remember.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Kakarikan. Hey guys, sorry I haven't sent in a question in a while, but don't worry, I still listen to this show religiously. So my question is, do either of you have Halo Reach or plan to get it? I haven't, and I think it's the best Halo by far, and it's amazing. If anyone's not sure whether or not to get it, I suggest getting it. That's from Dark Abyss, P.S. Leroy Jenkins. I'm not going to do the voice because I can't.
I don't even know how the voice goes. I forget, I've only seen that video like once.
Yeah, it's that whole world of Warcraft.
But I think it's fairly immature.
Fun, but
I don't get memes like that.
No, and you don't have an Xbox, so you're not getting Halo Reach.
No, yeah. It's a shame, except it's not really, because I don't care.
Yeah, in my view, you're not missing out on much. Unless you're a fan of the storyline.
No, I'm not. Not at all. Although, I quite enjoyed playing Halo with friends when they had it. Back on the regular Xbox, way back when. That was fun.
You know,
but apart from that, I pretty much haven't played it since.
I'm really not a fan of those kind of games, because they're just rebuilding more like existing storylines of the it's just an expansion on that, and I don't think that should be a full game. Should be kind of like an expansion pack. You remember in the late 90s when you'd buy a computer game and you could buy expansion packs for it at a reduced price?
Oh, Age of Empires.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So I really don't like that kind of thing, and I'm really not that not a fan of the Halo, so I will not be getting it. So,
if there is one favorite thing to sing, even if you don't like to sing, oh, okay. So, what is he asking? If there is one favorite thing, what is your favorite thing to sing, even if you don't like to sing? And what is your worst singing school memory? From Artemis. Did you used to sing in school?
Yeah. In elementary school, it was kind of like an artsy kind of school. Everybody took a music class. So, back in the day, I was able to read music and follow along and keep count, you know, and actually play the instruments provided, like those. What are those things called where you have the sticks and you bang the stick on the wooden or the metal things? The xylophone and...
What, oh. Triangle?
No, it's like a wooden instrument, and then the other one's a metal. I don't know. But we played those. We also played recorders, so I was able
to... Oh, we did that as well, recorders.
I was able to read music.
We did some basic things like that, but...
Stuff like handbells and whatnot at the Christmas concerts, and yes, that is where we sang, so, yeah.
Oh, okay. In my primary school, we sang every Monday. Every Monday at our school assemblies, we used to sing,
God Save you know the those... Queen?
No, we sang the New Zealand National Anthem every time. Okay. God Defend New Zealand. That's the Maori
you
part.
It in English?
Yes, we sang the English too, but the Maori verse comes first.
Okay.
And please forgive my shocking Maori there. God of nations at thy feet. In the bonds of love we meet. Something, something. Oh, God.
Monday.
I can't remember. That's shocking.
National anthem thing a few years after I left, according
God
to what my sister.
Nations. At thy feet,
she was still there.
In the bonds of love we meet. So, yeah, I forgot it. Oh, man. but yes.
What about, did you guys do, like, Christmas, spring concerts kind of things where the whole school got together and sang for the parents?
Not really. We had a couple of school productions that we did, which involved some singing. But I don't think we really took a big emphasis on that. It was because we did it every week, and we did it often. Because we did quite a lot of... It's just, you know, those... the songs that they write for schools to sing, so they're not interesting in the slightest.
Well,
you know, we sing about fish and chips and glue on the tables and...
Have you heard that one?
Everyone knows it among everywhere, because they used to sing it at other schools as well. Glue on the table, glue on the chair. I hope I don't have glue in my head.
Yes.
Glue everywhere.
Just the melody brings it back. But yeah, basically Christmas concerts. And one year we didn't have a Christmas concert because the school is being renovated. So we had a spring concert instead. So music from the 1930s all the way up to the 1990s was showcased. And we had 1980s, and we sang a Billy Joel song.
Oh, well.
It's still
rocking. I'm pretty sure we never sang anything contemporary.
Oh, also with that...
We were.
I was part of playing Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On the handbells.
Ooh, good song.
So.
I may have said that slightly too enthusiastically.
Yeah, you know, but in this day and age, you know, I think you could call me tone deaf, as I can't tell the difference between... I don't know, whatever. So.
Oh, well. Oop, my screen has gone blank.
Are we done with that one, I think?
Oh, hang on.
Worst memory?
Singing school memory. Worst memory? I don't know. I never really had
I don't know.
A worst memory.
Yeah, neither did I. I guess that.
Yeah, the whole thing, really. I never enjoyed it at all.
Well, you seem like you'd be the kind of person just to jump up and sing.
Oh, yeah, nowadays, sure, I would just get up and crank out the beats, man. But No. Singing those songs, no. It was pretty much hell.
Alrighty, yeah, thank you,
that's
Artemis.
That's the worst memory in itself. Thank you, Artemis.
Hi there, Shane and his compadre.
Thank you.
Compadre. What's a compadre?
I forget.
Anyways, I do enjoy a good farming run, but I've found it tricky to find the most profitable herb to use. I've come to the conclusion that Avanto is the most profitable herb to farm. Is this right, or is there a better herb to farm? I'm level 74 farming. Thank you, Kingy. Oh, and this is also a shout-out to his YouTube channel, Sir Kingy, if that's what he wanted. S-I-R-K-N-G-Y.
K-I-N-G-Y.
So, oopsies, I'm sorry.
I do that as well. You skipped the first. Anyway.
Yeah.
Question.
You know, it. I don't know. I'm a creature of habit, so I always farm toad flax. It is profitable.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
before this question, I did look it up, and Avanto is more profitable than toad flax. But I always have the worry in the back of my head, is Avanto going to sell? You know, but I guess, I don't know, I prefer to go with toad flax because there's always going to be a demand for it, you know, with Ceridome and Bruce. So that's why I do that, even if it's a little less profitable. But yes, you are right. Avanto is the most profitable one there is at this point.
I'm sort of the same. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sort of the same, not exactly with toad flax, but with Kuams, because I always used to do those. I just naturally go for them again, even though they're probably horrible compared to other herbs for profit nowadays. Yeah, everything gives a lot of profit, so to me, I don't even care.
Yeah.
It's enough profit.
What do you use for your number in determining profit?
Oh, as an average per patch?
Yeah.
I used to use 7.
I use 7 as well. I think.
That was a kind of conservative estimate because
that's what my research told me. So I still use that, and you could earn a lot more money by going up to toad flax. So, anyways,
okay.
If you take 39.12 times 7, that's 27K. The seed is 32.55. So. Roughly 24K profit there. Now for toad flax, let's see. 4,089 times 7. We're at 28K. And the profit is, or the herb is, or the seed, I mean, is 1215. So you're already 3K more profit there. So. And now Avanto, like he mentioned, like Kingy mentions, is 5.2K. And if you get 7 of those, you're roughly at around, 36K or so. And you take 6.5K away, you're 29.5K, so relatively the same for those two, but yeah. You got anything else on this one?
No, that's about it. I mean, basically because I haven't done the calculations and since... I haven't done them in 2 years. 2 years ago I actually did a calculation. But I haven't done them since then. So you basically just need to do that yourself and work out what is best if you are that worried about it. But herbs all give decent profit as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, as long as you're doing it, that's the main thing. So,
yep.
Anyways, thank you, Sir Kingy, on YouTube. Last one.
Dear Shane and Chief Snake. This is a good question. What programming languages do you know? I can assume that you both code in JavaScript, as you both have computer science certifications. What other languages do you know, if any? Personally, I code assembly for the TI calculator brains, as well as Visual Basic and Beginner's Python. Secondly, what are your thoughts on the reducing in vast quantities of computer science-related jobs? Are you planning on developing applications in a job-style market, or will you move to a different field entirely? And I'm not sure who that is from.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed another name. I'll get that while you start answering.
Okay. Shane is just finishing his computer science degree, obviously. I am going to start my computer science degree next year. I am not quite there yet, but, you know, I do code in JavaScript, and so does Shane. We... Of course, we're not fantastic at it. I'm not fantastic at it. Shane is better than me. But we both code in PHP. Also, Shane is better than I am, naturally. Shane codes in Java and anything else, really. I'm pretty sure you can code in C, C sharp, C++.
You don't know C sharp. As you already mentioned, PHP... I don't know. I really don't think JavaScript should be considered a programming
language. No, I wouldn't count that either, actually. So, but, you know.
But for the purpose of this question, PHP, Java, C, C++. If I had a guidebook, I could code x86 assembly. Lisp, Prolog. What else is there? There's another one I'm forgetting. I'm sorry, I forget. I don't know. But yeah, basically, the thing with this is, for everybody out there, learning a programming language is kind of the same thing wherever you go, because lots of the languages have a common syntax. For instance, C, C++, C Sharp, Java, and even PHP all have kind of look relatively the same. So those ones are easy to learn. Then you've got the completely off-ball ones like Lisp, which is... a very good way to learn recursion. So, yeah, it really is like learning a written language, and then the computer science part is the interpretation and the English language arts part of it. So,
yep. I'm just trying to find this email I got, which would be fantastic to mention at this point. Yes, yeah, that's the one. Got it. I emailed the... I just thought I'd mention this. This is completely unrelated. But this is an email I got from the professor of computer science at Waikato University, where I'm looking to go next year. Oh, not the, but I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is there only one?
No, I'm pretty sure there would be more. I think he must be head of department or something like that. But... he says that becoming proficient with a programming language is time-consuming, and most programmers have only one or two that they know really well. Unfortunately, few seem to be able to distinguish between good languages and languages that they happen to know. As a result, we see endless, poorly informed debate about the merits of languages. In practice, there are differences, but they are mostly not absolute differences of quality, rather differences of emphasis and application domain. A good programmer chooses the language that best supports the application they are working on at the time.
Exactly. That's exactly the thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you are writing a Windows application, you are going to use either Visual C++ or Visual Basic. For me, that would be Visual C++, because I really don't like the syntax of Visual Basic. And I think C++ is probably more powerful in terms of being C and everything, you know? So... But that's definitely the way to look at programming languages. It's not, oh, this programming language is better than this, but each programming language has its own tool, you know. Like, as the guy said, yeah, anything Windows, definitely Visual, C++ or C#. Or if you're wanting to teach programming, Java for me. Or if you're working for the web, PHP. So, I don't know. I think my best two programming languages would have to be... at this stage, PHP and C++, I think.
Yeah.
Those are my two best.
Yeah. I haven't actually looked into really any of the more complex software languages. I can do a bit of Visual Basic, .NET. Yeah, not really anything else, but I'm more proficient in PHP than anything else. Hoping to change that next year, obviously. But.
Well, yeah, you have to. It's not so much learning languages. You just pick languages up as you go along, i.e. Lisp and Prolog.
I think that'll be what'll happen, really. I've got a fairly good foundation.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's different.
Oh,
what
the language
are your thoughts
I forgot
on reducing?
Was simplest was C. C.
Oh,
I forgot to mention
but I said
C.
That anyway. I said that for you.
Oh, okay.
What are your thoughts on the reducing in vast quantities of computer science related jobs?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yes, because I have nothing, no idea.
Oh,
about
okay.
This.
Well, you know, it kind of depends in this day and age. Programming is being outsourced to India, yes, and whatnot, but they are still going to need people to design the programs, design the databases, and oversee the projects, which, even though you might think of computer science as programming in general, computer science also brings in the whole project management aspect of everything.
That's true.
So I don't think they're going to be going away, because we're only going to be needing more and more programs as time goes on. You know, like programmers that specialize in embedded devices. Like, a company is not going to get a person who writes their desktop application for Windows to make their iPhone application for their customers. It's not going to work like that. So there's going to be lots of things like that. And there's also, of course, all the little offshoot areas, you know, like AI development, database development, you know, like not your typical table-based databases, but say a graph database. I'm not going to go into what a graph database is, or a graph even, but yeah.
That's good.
I could. It would be interesting to me, but I don't know what purpose it would serve this show, and it might. It would be kind of
another time
hard for me to explain it without notes. So, anyway,
I very nearly just tripped over the cord of my headset. Oh, that would have been bad. Went to
continue.
Open up my window. Tech news. Are we done with that question?
Yes, we are. That was from Zevist.
All questions, for that matter. Oh, that's good.
And with that being said, you can send us audio questions to questions@rspmb.com. Please try to keep them under 30 seconds in length. That way we can get through more of them. But if you don't want to send it to questions@rspmb.com, you can phone us and leave us a voicemail. You can phone us at 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632.
What's in tech news this week, Shane?
Google's multi-factor authentication right now for Google Apps, potentially later this year coming to the consumer products. So, as you guys probably know, you go to a Google page and you enter your password. That's what we call single form authentication. I'm having trouble speaking right now, but basically it's just one thing, you know, the password, which really isn't that secure if your password becomes compromised. Now, what Google's doing is they're bringing in multi-factor authentication, which means that it's something you know, your password, and something you have. And this thing you have is going to be a PIN number. And the way you get this PIN number is you send a text message to this predetermined number, and it responds back. And then you enter that in, and then it just adds another layer of authentication. So let's say you're logging into Gmail, you'll enter in your password and send a text message to the Google number, and in return, you'll receive a 4-digit PIN number. You enter that in as well, and bingo, you're in. And with this, they also say later in this year, they're going to have applications for iPhone, Android, and all those other kind of platforms to get the key, so you don't have to use text messaging if you don't want to. But ultimately, this is a good idea, because there should be no way to hack into a multi-factor authentication system, providing you do not give out your device that gets PIN numbers. So,
yeah.
All in all, good on the security scheme. I'm not sure if anybody remembers, but this is kind of like the thing that Mark Girard was going to do last year with RuneScape, having a RuneScape kind of PIN number system. But
oh,
it was canned,
right.
Because not enough people would pay for it. So,
yeah.
Personally,
that's
true. I think they could have done that if they would have brought in some extra bank space with it, but oh well. Basically, what that was going to be is going to be this little device. You press it, and it displays a number, and you enter that number appended to your password, and then that shows you. Then that's something you have, right? And something you know, your password and this code. So with that, it makes your RuneScape account more secure. So,
yeah,
that's that. You know, these things also exist for PayPal, and there's other third-party solutions like the YubiKey and whatnot. So it's not something new. It's something that should actually be looked into more widely. So that's that one. And this next story is a study that says Windows 7 is leading to higher consumer PC satisfaction. Consumers are responding positively to Microsoft's Windows 7 operating system, and thus their satisfaction with their PCs has also increased. In the most recent American Customer Satisfaction Index, they say that Dell is at 77% from 74 last year, so up 3 points. HP and Acer and all others was also up 4 points to 77%. The only manufacturer that did not see gains was Compaq, which remained at 74, and Apple remained at 86.
I thought that Compaq was owned by HP anyway.
That's a good point. I'm wondering why that is in this story. Compaq and HP are the same thing. Maybe that's why it stayed the same.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I don't know. I guess you can blame that on, or not blame, I guess credit that to Windows 7, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, Windows 7 has done well. I am very impressed with it overall, even though I'm not using it anymore.
Yeah, there's really, you gotta really look at a computer vendor and say, is it the hardware causing the problem, or is it crappy operating system with bloatware and whatnot? Most of the time, yeah. It's the operating system with the bloatware on it. So, I guess you could attribute that to Windows 7, but really, is it just user experience in general? Because Windows 7 is basically Vista with user interface enhancements, you know, right? So, I'm just wondering about whether it was user experience in general or some other more scientific kind of measure, you know?
Well, you know, the little things make all the difference.
Such
as? I mean, 7 had a lot of little tiny fixes from Windows Vista, which you wouldn't really notice unless... Oh, well, I don't know, you would notice some of them. One of the things that got fixed, or I don't know if they would call it a fix, but in Windows 7, there's a little... Or in Windows Vista, on every single window, no matter what your color scheme was, there would be a bright cyan... sort of outline on it, and in Windows 7 it's gone. It's at least been replaced with something that matches your color scheme, which that is one of the greatest updates they ever made, in my opinion. That was a gross choice decision to put into Vista to have that there at all. So I don't know where it came from, whether it was like a bug that it was there, but it never got fixed on that, so who knows? I don't know, but just little tiny things like that.
Yeah, I guess. It feels massive
difference for me as for the whole user experience.
It feels more Mac-like.
I suppose so.
But really, yeah, it's still know. Windows on, the on whole, it. You know, it still has the
it
Windows
on it. It's a lot more polished, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was, a polished release. It's what Vista should have been, but... I don't know. I really don't have anything else to say about this, aside from that Apple's at 86%. I don't know. I still think Microsoft needs to make us all-in-one computer. Not all-in-one, but do a computer of their own with their own hardware and whatnot to have a unified kind of experience the same way OS X does. Then you could really compare a Windows computer to a Mac computer. But oh, maybe. I don't know.
They're not a hardware
Windows
company.
Windows computers are your home-built ones that you design for yourself. So
it's kind of like Google, how they've got Android. Whoops, I nearly did just trip over my headset again. How they've got Android, but they don't make the equipment.
Yeah, they don't make the phones. But that's an entirely different topic, Android. So... last piece of tech news, Blockbuster has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in the U.S.
Blockbuster?
So,
Blockbuster a renting thingy?
Yeah, it's the main kind of rental movie place in the U.S.
Yeah, we have that here, I think.
Oh, you do?
I think it's not a big place, but I'm pretty sure they have some stores.
Okay. Yeah, they're not filing in Canada, just the U.S. So... Rather, it plans to focus on other parts of its business, such as kiosks, online offerings, while still keeping a select few stores open. You know, for nostalgia's sake. You know, they think that people want to go into a video store, browse for a movie, take it home, you know. Personally, I don't. For rentals.
Yeah.
Because they never have half the stuff you want, and they're limited in their selection, too. So, anyways. What were you saying about debt?
It is a lot of debt.
Oh, I didn't see what...
$1 billion worth of debt.
Oh, okay.
How can they sort of be allowed to continue practicing their business while owing that much?
Well, that's the idea of Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It gives you time to try and make the thing right, and if you can't, you get liquidators, or whatever in this case, to come in and close up the business and make as much profit as possible, and anything else is just absorbed, right? So, that's probably what will happen here, but, you know, I really don't think they have a future in this. I think the future's in streaming, unless they can somehow adapt to it and get the major studios on board. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the problem in the future, getting people on board. So...
That's
Anyways, that's it for tech news.
Good, in my opinion.
Alrighty, on to other things now. RSBNB Informer will be hiring soon for an RS writer position, so keep your eyes open for that. I can't interest you in the position.
I don't think so, unfortunately. I was just thinking about a couple of articles I could write, though, recently.
Oh, sure, if you want to. Yeah, go right ahead.
Just sort of about my... Yeah, I won't reveal anything, actually. I'll just say...
Yeah, we'll talk about that after, because we don't have a guest article for September. So if you could get that in the next week, that would be good.
We'll see how much time I have.
So, Skill of the Month update. You can do this since I did it last week with Paul.
But you don't link to it, and it means I have to actually type it in. And,
it's a short URL, rsbnb.com/skotm.
No, that's all right. I just type in SKOTM and it comes up.
Oh, okay, that's good.
The skill for
don't
October 2000.
Don't bother, actually.
Oh, no, I'll do that after. Wait, don't bother? Yeah. Oh, because there's no change.
Yeah, don't bother. It's the same
there
as last week.
There is zero change since last week. I'm pretty sure. Zero change?
Yeah.
Yes. Brian B. is still in front with 4.3 mil XP gained, which has not changed since the 3rd of the month. Oh, no, 4th. No, 5th. 5th. Yes, that's it. 3rd is when he started getting XP. He got 4.3 mil XP in 2 days. Oh, my God. But, yes, my point being, a couple of other people have got a tiny amount of XP. No one has got any XP in the last week, however. So, fascinating stuff. The skill for October 2010, however, is crafting. And... that is only a recent announcement. When did you say that? Didn't you tell me, like, last night?
Last night, 18 hours ago.
Oh, 18 hours ago, okay. Oh, yes, but you would know that.
So, yeah, it's free to play.
Well, anyway, crafting is a good skill. I should do that.
Yeah, it is.
Wonder if I need it for anything. Probably not.
I don't know. I don't think so. Do you have any sacred clay needles?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, you could be like Trekkie and do bracelets.
No. That was really boring the last time I did that. Last time I trained.
Yeah, it was. It was. So. Yeah, but you can sign up, you know. As long as you have a forum account that's at least a month old, sign up, rsbnb.com/skotm.
Give it a go. You got nothing to lose.
Yeah, there's lots of people that don't even get XP, so if you probably even got like 300k experience, you'd probably be in the top 10. So there's no reason not to sign up.
Even less than that,
you're not planning on it. So anyways, rsbnb.com/skotm. Next up is something new, we are going to be trying from here on in on RSBNB Update. RSBNB is a community, and, you know, it's based around RuneScape, and there's achievements in RuneScape, so we figured each week we would highlight our people who get 99 in their respective skill of that week. So, we're going to begin with
that. Did you write them down? Because I've forgotten already.
No, I got them up right here, so I'll just read
them. Okay, I'll just go back to it as well. We can
Yeah, first up this week was Bonsai 99 with 99 cooking on September 21st. So,
yeah,
congratulations to you. I believe I saw your accomplishment on RuneWire. He got 99 cooking accidentally by putting together the Shattered Hearts cooking rocks statue.
Oh, no. He got 98 and 99. That's good.
Yeah, so that's kind of sad when something like that happens, but it is an accomplishment nonetheless. So congratulations.
These things happen.
Yes.
Next? The next person on September 20th, XXLuckyXX got 99 attack. Woo! Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations there.
Skip a page. Your
turn. And that's all we got for this week.
Oh, that is all we got for this week. Oh, how boring.
Yeah, we only got two for this week. Yeah, oh, you know, we could... I don't know. Give us some feedback on this. We're just testing this out. So... You know, if there's a week where there's no 99s, we will highlight something else that might be more interesting. You know, like, for instance, if someone got, say, level 90 agility or level 90 mining even, that would be something to talk about, mentioning.
Oh, well.
So, it all depends.
Yeah, a few people got 99s last week. Too bad we missed those.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Oh,
I know.
Well.
Yeah. So if you're getting 99, make sure you're on the RSBNB high scores, and we'll give your name a mention when you get 99. Also, I think honorable mentions to other skills that are hard might be worth it as well. You know, like, as we said, mining, runecrafting, I don't know, what else do you think would be a...
Farming.
Okay.
Actually, sure. No, farming is easy, but we'll mention it anyway.
Yeah, what about Slayer or something?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so we'll be watching the achievements page. So use the high scores. Highscores.rsbnb.com. You guys can see that. All right. So, Paul did a pick last week. Do you have a pick this week?
I sort of do, yes. I could come up with anything. First thing I thought of this week was a little program for Linux called GMusic Browser, which is by far... Oh, God, it doesn't even know what I'm talking about. GMusic, that's it. Sorry, little gnome-do problem there. But basically, GMusic Browser is by far the best music player I've come across for Linux. It allows you to do pretty much anything with it, which is fantastic. You can alter the layout to make it exactly how you want it. The only slight caveat there is that you have to... sort of learn a new language in order to edit the code for it, but it's not that difficult. I mean, I managed to do it, and I did that in a night, or, you know, an hour or so. I managed to get it exactly how I wanted it. I'll post a screenshot, actually, of what I've got, but yeah, you can literally do anything you want with it. Plugins, you can have the lyrics automatically scrolling while you're listening to music, stuff like that.
Interesting.
I don't know. There are just heaps of awesome settings that other players don't have. And especially coming from Windows, it's just so refreshing to see all of these options it gives you, even if you don't use half of them. And then, unlike all the bloated music players that you would get for the rest of Linux or for the rest of Windows especially,
AKA iTunes,
which have all these options, yeah, especially like iTunes, where you actually can barely customize that at all, you can actually disable half of the stuff that you don't want, and you can, you know, especially with the layout editing, you can just kill off what you don't want to see if it's got some bloated feature that you don't like. So, you know, you can, if I'm, for example, I love using the library and I hate using playlists, I just never understood how people can use playlists. I just search for the thing that I want and it plays. With playlists, you can just completely disable the playlist thingy. You can remove it from the menu and blah, blah, blah. And it just gives you so much freedom, and it amazed me to see that. And it's an amazing music player. You should look at it. I will post screenshots. It's called GMusic Browser. And yes.
Do they have a Windows version? Because I know lots of open source software does a Windows version as well.
Probably not, which is... it might do. I don't know, just the name sort of with G in front.
Yeah, I guess. GMusic.
GMusic Browser. It might do, because, yeah, a lot of these things do. I will admit that.
Da-da-da-da-da. Let us see. FAC? Oh, there's nothing.
I don't think it does, though, does it?
Does GMusic Browser work under Windows? Almost, but playback and internet connection don't work.
Playback doesn't work. Oh, that's a shame. Because you don't need playback or anything.
Yeah.
Not a music player.
I'm sure there's probably a few Linux users out there that could use such a thing.
Yeah. For any Linux users out there, the few that there may be, give it a go because it is awesome.
Is it a smart application where it can interact with things like Growl and whatnot?
I don't know about Growl. They don't have that on Linux.
Whatever your Linux thing is, you know, the thing that displays like pop-up notifications. Yeah,
yes.
That.
Yeah, it uses that. Yeah. What else is there? I'll just go to settings. It also uses the global hotkeys and stuff. I don't think there's much more to add. But it's very cool.
Alrighty then. GMusic Browser at gmusicbrowser.org. Link in the notes, of course, at update.rsbnb.com.
Yep.
Alrighty. So, aside from your power outage, tell us about your week.
Aside from my power outage. Actually, no, that's been the most interesting part of my week. That's my making my story instantly the best, I think, story of the week. I was going to mention something else slightly related to that, but I forgot. Anyway, what happened was we basically... from 11 o'clock on Saturday morning last week, and we usually record at 1 o'clock my time, the power went out, and it came on at 10 o'clock, 10-ish that night. And that day, or that evening, I was due to be going to another school's ball. So I had to get dressed for that in my suit, in the dark, using a torch to see what I was doing. And then, you know, basically all the rest of the stuff I had was candlelight. We had all these candles out downstairs and stuff, so it was fairly light down there, but, you know, only as light as you can get with candles, if you've done that before. I went to this ball.
Did you put the shirt on the right way?
Yes, I did manage to do everything quite well. The theme was a masquerade ball, and so at last minute I decided, I've been to two balls already. I don't care about this one. I wore stripy, colourful socks. I wore my dad's Bugs Bunny tie, and as far as a mask goes, I put on a surgical mask, and I wore surgical rubber gloves, which was probably the most interesting combination I saw all night. But
so, in a way,
sadly,
you look like
I did not
win the prize doctor
mask. But yeah, more or less. Except it would have
except
been cooler if I had a white
light.
Suit.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, anyway.
Hey, that's what you could be for Halloween. The medic from Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, still need a white suit, though. That'd be so great. But yeah, I don't think I've done much else all week since then. It's my last week of school for the term. Yay! So I'm at holidays for 2 weeks now. That's... about
that
it.
Is good. Right. Any RuneScape stuff?
Sorry. The thing I was going to say about the power outage. The reason it took so long to fix it is because of the earthquake in Christchurch. You wouldn't have thought that it would have such a profound effect on us, and it doesn't directly. But you see, because all of our people went down there to help fix all of the stuff, there was only one guy left in the whole town who could actually sort of coordinate the repairs of these power poles and stuff like that. And that is why it took so long to fix them. Only one guy working on it, as opposed to whatever it would have been, 10 or, I don't know. So, yeah. Sucks to be us. Anyway, I think that
That's
was about
why
it.
Why you what don't use concrete Bruce power thing? Poles?
That has nothing to do with it. But, yes, we got 4 new power poles, lucky us. On RuneScape, I have been... Oh, I've been slaying a little bit. I killed some Dagonoths and Black Demons with my new cannon. I never had a cannon. I've never used a cannon before, and I got this
never.
Cannon and I started using it.
Never?
Never, ever in my life, I don't think. And I got this cannon, and it's freaking amazing, I must say. Freaking amazing. Having not used one ever
the
before,
Dagonoths.
It's just fantastic how fast it kills those things.
Yeah.
I was tempted to stay.
Right?
And I did for at least like 50 more kills after my task finished, so... Oh, sort of expensive, but you sort of pay for it in the seeds that you get. I got a couple of Snapdragon seeds.
Oh, that's good. Where are those at now? Still 60k a piece?
Something like that, yeah. But it was just fun. That was a new experience for me. That goes back to that question.
Amazing
anyway.
You've never done it like that before.
I know, right? Yeah, it's a bit sad. But what have you been up to, Shane?
Snapdragon seed, 58.2K. Well, aside from school, I have been in the Castle Wars lobby doing something I will never do again. I am currently getting 99 magic, which will be sometime this week, maybe even this weekend. We'll have to see how things go. But it's not going to be anything spectacular. Expect probably about a half hour notice on RuneWire before I get it. So, always be checking RuneWire if you want to come. I can't make any guarantees of when it will be or if it'll be accessible to you in terms of time, but...
Will it be accessible to me?
Most likely, yes.
Yay!
So, but, you know, that's led me to a whole realization is, I really don't care about these level 99s I got. The only... 99s I really care about are farming herb lore and agility and woodcutting to a lesser degree because there was a race behind that one.
Woodcutting was a fun one. So.
Yeah. So it made me think I'm done grinding on RuneScape. I'm going to attempt to do things differently from here on in and just focus on farming and leveling up skills. Even if that might include Dungeoneering, do a few Dungeoneering runs, but I don't know about that. But, yeah, really just this week's been school really kind of just starting to ramp up, I guess you could say. It is always an adventure there, you know, trying to navigate the crowds and whatnot. coding RuneWire and coding some HTML and CSS today. So,
yay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Fun. So,
have yet to find myself a perfect text editor.
Yeah, that's why you need OS X for TextMate.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I think we're done then. Do you have anything else you want to mention or talk about?
Nope, that's it. That's been me.
Alrighty then.
Serve myself
it's been
for another week.
It's been RSPNB Update 275 with Chief Snake, who has power this week.
Yay! But for how
and
long?
Myself.
No, I'm hoping it will last.
We'll see you next week, everyone.